Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, acclaimed comics writer and notorious Scott Summers hater, Rosie Knight.
Well, hello, Emmy-winning podcaster and totally unbiased Targaryen royal supporter, Jason Concepcion.
Somehow the X-Ray Vision podcast has returned.
And like always, we'll be here every week.
You'll hear from TV writers, actors, comics creators, pop culture critics.
Nothing is off the table.
Listen to X-Ray Vision on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone. Technically, you're getting 2 days in history today because we're running two episodes from the History Vault. Hope you enjoy. Greetings, everyone. Welcome to This Day in History class, where we learn a smidgen of history every day. The day was March 1st, 1932. Anne Lindbergh, the wife of famed aviator Charles Lindbergh, was at home with 20-month-old Charles Lindbergh Jr. and the baby's nurse, Betty Gow. Charles Lindbergh Sr. was in New York, away on business. Normally, the family would spend weekends at their country home near Hopewell, New Jersey, and weekdays at Anne's parents' home in Englewood, New Jersey. But Anne did not want to have to travel with little Charles, who was sick. So on this Tuesday, Charles Jr. was at home being nursed back to health, and the baby was getting better. But by the end of the night, things had taken a turn for the worse. Anne and Betty put Charles Jr. to sleep. But when Betty went to check on him after dinner, he wasn't there. Charles Jr. had been kidnapped. The events that followed would make for a tragic story that captivated the public for years to come. Charles Lindbergh became famous for making the first solo nonstop flight across the Atlantic when he flew from New York to Paris on a plane called the Spirit of St. Louis. The flight took 33 and a half hours from May 20th to 21st, 1927. But once he landed, he was quite literally an overnight celebrity. Before the trip, Lindbergh had been a U.S. airmail pilot. He had just wanted the $25,000 prize that was offered to anybody who could make the transatlantic flight. But after that famous trip, Lindbergh, just 25 years old, was in the international spotlight. He wasn't completely comfortable with the newfound attention. But his life was changing regardless. He started getting endorsements and traveling for speaking engagements. And eventually, he met his future wife, Anne Morrow, in Mexico, where her father was serving as the U.S. ambassador. Anne and Charles married in 1929, and Anne gave birth to their first child, Charles Augustus Lindbergh Jr., on June 22, 1930. But the media still didn't give the family a break. The couple valued their privacy, and they built a big house on a nice chunk of land in Hopewell, New Jersey. They raised the child in New Jersey, spending time at their rural home in Hopewell on the weekends and Anne's parents' house in Englewood during the week. But when that fateful day came, the family had decided to switch up their routine to make sure baby Charles was taken care of. Charles Jr. was recovering from his sickness on March 1, 1932, but Nurse Betty and Anne were still tending to him. Around 7:30 p.m., the two women rubbed lotion on the baby's chest, then tucked him into bed. And when Betty came back to check on him around 30 minutes later, nothing was wrong. Charles Sr. came back home around 8:20 and soon after ate dinner with his wife. But when Betty went to check on the baby again around 10 p.m., little Charles was not in his crib and nowhere to be seen. Betty checked to make sure neither Charles Sr. nor Anne had him, but they didn't. So they went into panic mode. Charles Sr. rushed to the child's room, where he found a ransom note demanding $50,000 on the windowsill. He then went outside with his gun and found a broken ladder beneath the child's window, as well as a baby blanket. So they called the police, and when the police came, they found evidence of the kidnapper's presence. There was mud on the nursery floor, footprints beneath the window, a chisel that was probably used to open the window, and then the ransom note. Because of the way the note was written, including the fact that the dollar signs were after the monetary amounts, police thought the note had to have been written by somebody European. But there was no blood or fingerprints at the scene of the crime, and the hunt for a perpetrator had a long way to go. The public already had its eye on the Lindberghs, but the kidnapping just took that to the next level. The search for baby Charles was on, and the family was getting a ton of press. They were getting so much attention that the kidnapper sent two more ransom notes, one of which raised the stakes to $70,000. Communicating and negotiating with the kidnapper proved difficult. But in a lucky break, a Bronx resident named Dr. John Condon stepped up to say he would act as an intermediary between the kidnapper and the Lindberghs, protecting identities in the process. The two parties agreed, and Condon met with the kidnapper twice, both times at a cemetery. After getting the baby's pajamas in the mail on March 16th, he believed he had sufficient proof that the baby was alive to hand over the ransom money. And on April 2nd, Condon handed $50,000 over to the kidnapper, though a lot of that money was gold certificates. In return, the kidnapper gave Condon a note that said the baby was on a boat off the coast of Massachusetts. But baby Charles wasn't found on a boat. On May 12th, a man found the body of a child about 4 miles away from the Lindbergh house. The skull was fractured and the body was decomposed. That child was Charles Jr., who had likely died the night he was kidnapped. In June 1932, Congress passed the Federal Kidnapping Act, which made kidnapping across state borders a federal crime punishable by death. And in September 1934, police arrested an undocumented German carpenter named Bruno Hauptmann, who had thousands of dollars worth of the gold ransom certificates, among other incriminating items. His trial lasted for more than 5 weeks in early 1935, and he was found guilty, sentenced to death, and later executed. But he never confessed to the kidnapping. Some people have claimed that it was a conspiracy. Others have said that Hauptmann was innocent and that someone else, maybe even Charles Lindbergh himself, was the true culprit. I'm Eve Jeffcoat. And hopefully you know a little more about history today than you did yesterday. If you'd like to know more about the kidnapping, listen to the episode of Stuff You Missed in History Class called The Disappearance of the Lindbergh Baby. We started this month off with a pretty sad story, but the whole month won't be that way. Throughout the month of March, on Sundays, we'll be recognizing Women's History Month by bringing on special guests to talk about women in history and the contributions that they've made to society. If there's something that I missed in an episode, you can share it with everybody else on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook at TDIHC Podcast. Come back tomorrow for another tidbit from history.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, listener. I'm Carol Fisher, the host of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister. I'm so excited for you to hear the brand new season where we're uncovering a 35-year-old mystery. But for those of you who didn't hear season one or just want to listen to it again, you can now get access to all episodes of that first season of The Girlfriends 100% ad-free through the iHeart True Crime Plus subscription, which is available exclusively on Apple Podcasts. You'll also get access to every single episode of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, ad-free and 1 week early, only available to iHeart True Crime Plus subscribers. So what are you waiting for? Head to Apple Podcasts, search for iHeart True Crime Plus, and subscribe today.
Writer and notorious Scott Summers hater Rosie Knight.
Well, hello, Emmy-winning podcaster and totally unbiased Targaryen royal supporter Jason Concepcion.
Rosie, somehow the X-Ray Vision podcast has returned. It feels so good.
It does. And like always, we'll be here every week covering the wide world of TV, movies, comics, and geek culture.
That's right. We'll be talking about Batman, heroes of that stature, and of course, we'll be inviting our friends in the industry to come geek out with us and share stories. We'll hear from TV writers, from actors, comics creators, pop culture critics, and more.
Nothing is off the table because geek culture is pop culture. And we can't wait to share our love of it all with you every single week.
Listen to X-Ray Vision on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turned sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, y'all, I'm Eves, and welcome to This Day in History class, where we uncover a new layer of history every day. Thank you. The day was March 1st, 1790. Congress authorized the first census of the entire United States. Among other provisions, Article 1, Section 2 of the U.S. Constitution required the federal government to conduct a survey of the U.S. population every 10 years. That way, Congress could determine how many representatives would come from each state and how federal resources would be divided among states. The Census Act passed during the second session of the first Congress and was signed by President George Washington on March 1, 1790. The act called for the omission of Native Americans who were not taxed. It called for marshals to distinguish free people from everyone else and to distinguish the sex and color of free people. The act provided for the census, or enumeration as it called it, to begin on the first Monday in August and end within 9 calendar months. As planned, the first census began on August 2, 1790. The census was conducted in the original 13 states, as well as the districts of Kentucky, Maine, Vermont, and the Southwest Territory, or present-day Tennessee. Because Vermont was not admitted to the Union until March of 1791, the census didn't take place there until after it became a state that year. The process was supervised by the marshals of the judicial districts, and they hired assistant marshals to act as census takers. There were 17 marshals and an estimated 650 assistant marshals. The assistant marshals made 2 copies of the returned survey, one to post in the neighborhood for public knowledge, and another given to the marshal to be forwarded to the president. The census included 6 questions, the name of the head of the household, as well as the number of people in each household who fit into 5 categories. Those categories were free white males age 16 and older, free white males under age 16, free white females, all other free people, and slaves. According to the U.S. Census Bureau, the distinction of the age of free white males was to, quote, assess the country's industrial and military potential. Census takers determined the race of the people they counted. They did that by considering how people were viewed in their community or based on ideas about so-called black blood. Enslaved people were counted as 3/5 of a person, and Native Americans weren't counted until 1870. The category of mulatto was added in 1850, and other multiracial categories were added in later years. People could choose their own race starting in 1960. The total population based on the 1790 census was counted as 3.9 million non-Native American people. That number included around 700,000 enslaved people. Secretary of State Thomas Jefferson and other officials believed that number was too low. There were people who opposed the census for religious reasons or because they thought it was related to increasing taxation. The cost of the entire census came in at $44,377. 1790 census records from several states have since been lost, possibly destroyed when the British burned the Capitol in Washington during the War of 1812. I'm Eve Shefcoat, and hopefully you know a little more about history today than you did yesterday. If there's something I missed in the show today, you can let us know at TDIHC Podcast on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. You can also email us at thisday@iheartmedia.com. I truly hope you enjoyed today's show. We'll be back tomorrow with another episode.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season 2 of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello!
acclaimed comics writer and notorious Scott Summers hater, Rosie Knight.
Well, hello, Emmy-winning podcaster and totally unbiased Targaryen royal supporter, Jason Concepcion.
Somehow the X-Ray Vision podcast has returned.
And like always, we'll be here every week.
You'll hear from TV writers, actors, comics creators, pop culture critics.
Nothing is off the table.
Listen to X-Ray Vision on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.